to the Jim Baker Family Show, coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guests are our dear friends, Rick Joyner and Chris Reed. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall, Mondo de la Vega, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from Gray Street at Morningside, USA, here's your hosts, Pastors Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue Baker, and welcome to Gray Street.
Hi there.
And one of the great, I believe, prophets of our hour, Rick Joyner, is in the house. A man who, when I got out of prison, took me in.
Yes.
And gave me a chance to step back in the pulpit that actually at one point was my pulpit, but just at Heritage where he was ministering. Mm-hmm. And I'll never, ever be able to thank him. And I'm so thrilled that he now has Heritage USA.
Yes.
Heritage International, they call it. Rick, how's everything going at Heritage International?
Well, it's really going so good. I just hope we don't get penalized in heaven for having it so good here. It's really been a special year. Every year gets better than the last year. Been a wonderful time, and we really appreciate you building these excellent facilities for us. We thank the Lord for you and you doing that for us all the time.
Hey, Lord.
Well, you know, I spent many years building that place, and so I'm so thrilled that it still is going on.
Yes.
And that God is moving and people come from all over the world.
Yeah, you're the one who really made this a destination, a place where Christians could come from every denomination and every nation, meet other believers, and I think started a great interchange and cross-pollination in the body of Christ that is essential for these times. So we really do appreciate you for doing that, and we're benefiting from it now.
We're so thrilled to have your pastor with us, Chris Reed.
Hey, Chris.
It's so good to welcome you to the program.
Yes.
I'm thrilled to have you both on the show together. This is very, very, I'm so thrilled. Usually you guys fly in here, but this today we thought be easier for everybody to just go live. Right from Heritage International, live in this studio. I just believe God wants us to be together.
Yes.
I believe God wants us to stand together. The devil meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
That's right.
All things work together for good. You know, when I got out of prison, you asked me to preach. And it was at Heritage USA because you were renting those facilities in those days. Now you own the facilities.
Right.
But you put me on the stage, and I preached the sermon, I will never, never leave you. I will never, never forsake you. And the last time you were on, we offered that of my sermon, really the first sermon out of prison. And I don't know if the sermon lasted a couple hours. I know that. But it was kind of long, but I was so full of it. I mean, I was just in prison so long that when I got out, I exploded, I think, and I exploded right there on stage. And so if anybody orders your book today, we're giving them
right.
a free copy of my video of that moment in history. And I want everybody to hear this. And we're going to show a little piece of this because I want everybody to order Rick's book today, Overcoming Evil in the Last Days, and you get a free copy of my first sermon out of prison.
This was in 1996, Jim Baker.
Roll that piece. The world today is still wanting to know the answer to the question that the king asked Daniel. Is thy God able to deliver thee? Amen. Is
is thy God able? Not just in these wonderful services. Not just when you're shouting and praising God. But next week, on the job, in the lonely moments of the night, in the middle of the lion's den, is your God able?
Hallelujah!
I'll tell you, I felt for a while that God had abandoned me. Has anyone ever felt like God was not there? Be honest, the others are lying. Reed, you better, everyone better raise your hand. The trial of your faith is more precious than gold. I don't understand. We teach people not to have any problems. And the Bible says the trial of our faith is more precious than gold. Why are we teaching people not to turn into gold? Whom God loves, he chastises. You want to go around whom God loves, he gives a new car. Doesn't say that in the book at all. Whom God loves, he chastises. He says, if you be without chastisement, you're a bastard and not a son. Amen. We're teaching people how to be bastards. God's trying to raise us up into sonship. God's trying to raise us up, and we're trying to teach how to have no heartaches, no problems, no nothing. I have studied the book from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. I can't find one man of God that lived a charmed life.
Amen.
The man Jesus said was the most perfect on earth ended up in jail and had his head cut off. If you're going through a problem and you can't figure it out and you can't get out of it, you can be assured God's in it.
Amen.
And God's trying to birth something in you. God's trying to birth something in the church today. God's trying to give the church the very power of the last days that's going to refine the church, that's going to usher in the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't worship all of the things. Don't worship laughter. Don't worship barking. Don't worship all of these outward things. These are nothing but birth pangs. Look for what God is trying to birth in the church.
Wow. Honey, Jim Baker. Whoa. Amazing. Rick, thank you for letting him preach like that and giving him the platform to preach. And
I want to ask you, Rick, were you a bit nervous when you put me in that pulpit right from prison?
Well, I don't get nervous that way. I honestly did not know you could preach like that. I just said, kind of figured, which I typically do, if he does really bad, it'll just make us look better. But really, I think, you know, there were some pretty hard preachers there and all, and I say hard, they had really high standards. They were the type that I think would have said, well, after hearing John the Baptist, well, that guy has some potential. And I remember them saying to me afterwards, this is one of the greatest messages I've ever heard. I thought that. I thought right away, this is one of the greatest messages I've ever heard. It remains in my top five all time. Chris here is trying to preach. He's trying to beat you out of that top spot. But that was such a powerful and profound thing. And I felt like somehow the anointing that had been bottled up in you in prison actually did explode from you in that message.
I hope you'll pray that a great anointing will come on me. In my weakest hour, I'll become the strongest and be preaching again. And I'm starting to preach again. I preached yesterday on the show. But I'm believing that God wants me to preach. You know, I think the enemy thought he would have me down when I had a stroke 2 years ago, but I'm back. And I'm going to stay back.
Amen.
And I'm going to I'm believing God for this to be the greatest year we've ever, ever had.
Yes. Amen.
And I believe that God, and a lot of people watched it on the world's newspapers when they brought me down, but God lifted me back up again. Yes. God brought me through the prison.
Yes.
And I want to thank Rick Joyner for standing with me.
Yes.
Because I don't think I'd be here today if it wasn't for Rick Joyner. So I want to thank him so very, very much.
Thank you, Rick.
And Chris, we're thrilled to have you on the show today.
Yes.
And you have moved into the leadership there in a mighty way alongside of Rick Joyner. Mm-hmm. And you were just on Mondo's program. Chris, tell me what's one of the most important things that you're going to be talking about this year, and what is God laying on your heart, the burden for the world?
Well, I've been shown several things, I think, that are coming on the earth. I think the next 2 years are going to be difficult years, I think, economically. I think we're going to see, and by the way, when I say all this, I believe God always preserves his people. So I don't want people to get in fear. I want them to stay in faith. But I think we're going to see an increase of the food shortages, especially in third world countries. And I think we're going to see that happen in South and Central America, and especially in Africa. And it's going to continue this crisis of mass illegal immigration. And you're going to see it coming up, you know, from Africa into Europe and from South and Central America into the United States. It's only going to exacerbate the problem. So I do think that's coming. I've seen some sort of animal sickness with the cattle that's going to affect the food, as well as, you know, the war with going on in Ukraine with the bread shortage, the wheat shortage. And so, you know, we're coming up on difficult times. I think I believe that what from what I've been shown, that after 2024, we are going to see a reprieve and things begin to get better and begin to turn around. But, you know, I think that we're going to see some challenging times ahead in the nations of the earth, the leaderships of the earth, the nations of the earth. And I think some of the major leaders in the major top nations of the world are going to see a change in leadership, and many of those unexpectedly. And so, but God is birthing something out of the church simultaneously while the world is getting darker. The glory of the Lord on the body of Christ is going to become brighter. And the sons of God and the sons of the evil one are going to come into maturity simultaneously. And it's going to lead down to the showdown of the ages. And I'm just excited to be along for the ride.
Chris, the Lord gave you a word earlier this year about women rising in politics and a connection to what you called, I think, the Margaret Thatcher spirit. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that? I mean, I know women like Carrie Lakes, who's from Lori's home state.
Mm-hmm. Arizona.
She's was powerful. We all thought she was going to win. And I'm not sure all these elections haven't been fooled with, but I'll leave that for others to talk about. But I know Carrie Lake just visited Trump this week. Did you hear about that, Lori? And he's talking to her about perhaps being the vice president. So we don't know. We're hearing all different names about it. But tell us about the spirit that you're saying God is going to raise up more women, and it seems like he's doing that.
Yeah, so this was at the end of 2021, coming into 2022 at our Vision Conference, which, you know, we have every year. It's we finish out the year, go into the new year at our Vision Conference here at Heritage. And usually at this conference, I begin to pray 2 or 3 months before the conference. God began to show me some things that are coming in the year or, you know, shortly after that. But so as I was praying into what was coming in 2022 and beyond, the Lord began to show me that there would be a rise of women in leadership in the nations of the earth. And I think we've seen that in the new prime minister of Italy, who won a landslide election in Italy, and her campaign theme was God, family, and country. So here you see patriotism, family, and faith won the day. Also, in Hungary, we've seen this happen. And back at the prophecy that I gave back on January the 2nd, here in our local church, and then also at the Vision Conference, I said, I saw a woman arising in British politics who would replace a current politician, and she would be compared to a Margaret Thatcher. And of course, you know, there was not, at that point, the UK was not up for elections. The Conservative Party had been in power. But then when Boris Johnson abruptly resigned in July, the Conservative Party went into elections mode, and they narrowed it down to her and another person. And she was appointed prime minister, and it seemed to be so highlighted, the fulfillment of that, because there were tons of articles comparing her politics, her dress style, everything to Margaret Thatcher. And then the very last thing that the Queen did, Queen Elizabeth in her 70-year reign, was to appoint Liz Truss as the prime minister. And of course, you know, I'll say this, I think even though Liz Truss's reign was not that long, I do think the fulfillment of that, and I think it was a fulfillment of prophecy, I think there's a couple of things that I want to point out that's important. Number one, I think it's the Margaret Thatcher anointing is bigger than her. It was coming to Europe, and I think it's also coming in the United States. I also have also prophesied and predicted and saw in vision a woman of color who would be on a Republican presidential ticket. It's interesting you mentioned Carrie Lake. I didn't think of her. But when I asked the Lord, when Liz Truss was anointed, I said, what does this mean? What does this mean? And the Lord said to me, I want you to look up and find out when Margaret Thatcher became the prime minister of the UK. She was known as the Iron Lady. So I did a study on it, and Margaret Thatcher came into power as the prime minister of the UK in 1979. And she reigned for 12 years as the prime minister. And so I said, okay, Lord, she came in 1979. And what the Lord began to speak to me, and this was after the prophecy was fulfilled in September of 2022, the Lord said, look at the conditions of your country now and compare it to 1979. And I began to think 1979 was the third year of the Jimmy Carter administration, and the conditions of the current situation in the United States is very comparable to then. If you remember 1979, there were gas wars. We had an energy crisis. Our foreign policy was in crisis. We had the Iranian hostage situation. We had raising interest rates, sky high interest rates, inflation. And so the Lord then said to me, he said, just remember, when the Margaret Thatcher anointing emerges in Europe or in the UK, a Ronald will come to the US about 2 years later. And it was in 1981, 2 years after Margaret Thatcher came to the UK, Ronald Reagan became the president of the United States, one of the greatest presidents of our lifetime, without a doubt. And so, but with the way the Lord said it was, he said, after Margaret Thatcher came to the UK, 2 years later, a Ronald, he didn't say a Reagan, he said a Ronald emerges in the US. And so I take that as a sign, a great hope, that in 2024, there is going to be a major turnaround and an exposure of a lot of this election stuff that's gone on. A lot of this finagling with the results. And I will say, too, I think that what we saw happen in Florida, I'm not trying to read too much into that word. Obviously, it could symbolically mean a Ronald Reagan type, or it could symbolically mean a Ronald DeSantis from Florida, who had a massive red wave. He, 4 years ago, won his gubernatorial race by 34,000 votes. This time he won it by 1.5 million votes. So stay encouraged. God's not done with America. We're going to face some difficult times, an economic crisis and continuing inflation, but we will see a turnaround.
Yes.
Rick, do you, What do you see for the political future of America?
Well, I think that all the foundations, virtually all, everything that can be shaken is being shaken in our government right now. I think we have the most inept administration right now across the board. You look at every cabinet member, you look at the leaders put over, you know, Homeland Security, over Border Patrol, all that, almost up and down. I don't think we've ever had more incompetent, ineffective leaders across the board. Now, that is a judgment from God in Isaiah 5. You know, the first judgment that comes upon a nation that turns from the Lord is immature. You know, he says, I will make capricious children your leaders. So I would say immature, capricious people are leading us right now. And I think the damage is deep. I think personally, I don't think we ever had a president that accomplished as much as Donald Trump did in just 4 years. Shocking how he turned our economy around. You know, Obama had said 1% growth GDP on year was going to be the maximum we're going to see from now on. And Trump said, no, we're going to 5%. Nobody believed him. Even his own team didn't believe him that much. And he did it. 5% growth with virtually zero inflation. He said he was going to take out ISIS. He did it. He did virtually everything he said. And I was on a lot of those weekly White House telephone calls, you know, with administration officials, and rarely, one memorable time, Trump himself got on the call. I don't think I've ever heard such passion for a subject from anyone in my life. The energy with which he talked about the crime that abortion was, and the destroying of the most innocent among us. And, you know, I don't think I've ever heard a preacher preach with such fire against abortion as Donald Trump did. And some of the really key things, he did an amazing job, made even more amazing by the opposition he had to face, the constant impeachments and harassment and the terrible media coverage he got. And listen, he did some things and said some things that you understand people would be offended about. But to accomplish what he did, at the same time, I don't think anyone has taken something that was doing so well and brought it to a train wreck like this administration did in less than 2 years. It has been unbelievable. And, you know, I read Donald Trump's plan for evacuating Afghanistan. It was brilliant. It covered all the bases. It would have been done systematically. It would have protected all of our friends there and gotten them out of the country before any of it was given back to Afghanistan. And we would probably still have a couple of bases there, because they were conditional on certain conditions in Afghanistan. But it was total opposite. It was so brilliantly made up. Donald Trump, to his credit, offered that to Biden, even though he was still really ticked off at Biden, for he thought usurping his place as president. He even offered that plan because Trump cared about his country so much, and he cared about us. The Biden administration would not even look at that plan because it came from Trump. We would have avoided that catastrophe that we are yet to reap some of the terrible fruit from it that we're going to reap. People almost didn't talk about the $1 trillion plus worth of rare earth minerals in Afghanistan that just went to China. You know, things like that that happened. And how when every time, you know, you give a little vacuum of leadership in Afghanistan, it has hit us and other countries in the world really hard. So, you know, there were things like that. So I felt like we went from an administration that was one of the most effective in my lifetime to the most ineffective. And we got two more years of this to go. Now, thankfully, you know, the Republicans have taken the Congress, the House. It seems it's a precariously thin, you know, margin of that they have leadership in. But supposedly, you know, if we have, I know we have some in the House. I believe we have a few in the Senate who are courageous enough to do what they said. I think maybe we can slow the disaster and the train wreck that's been going on under this present administration to a restoration of a truly effective leader that can navigate through the incredibly troubling times that we're now in. But I would like to say that, you know our friend Mark Nuttall. I think you've had him on your show there. If you haven't seen it yet, Mark commissioned and paid for himself what I think is the most in-depth study of America ever done, ever. You know, people are still referring to de Tocqueville's study, you know, Democracy in America, written in 1830, almost 200 years ago. That's the main go-to for what's America or Americans like. Well, Mark did a study that's so deeper, so wider. I've never seen or heard of anything like it. And to our shock, I was a part of the process of helping to design some of that, the research that was done. But it shocked all of us. The American people have not been turning to the left. They have been turning to the right, or to conservative, traditional, even biblical values, decisively, in an overwhelming majority of the American people. But there is a huge disconnect between the American people and the direction they're going and our leadership in Washington. Wow. So we're going to pull things apart if it's not dealt with pretty soon, and we don't get back in touch. Because another thing that was discovered in this research is how angry the American people have become at the authoritarian control, even totalitarian type methods of those on the left trying to impose their will and their agenda and what has been put into our schools and to the curriculums and being imparted to even the youngest children, even preschool children. It's unbelievable. It's one of the worst abominations I've ever heard of.
Absolutely.
And there is deep and rising anger in the American people to these things. And if we don't make a big change, I think there's going to be maybe the beginning of what I saw in 2018 of the Civil War.
Yeah.
The Second American Revolution and Civil War, because it's not going to continue being like this with the leaders going far to the extreme left and the people going the other way. But another thing found that study, and then I'll finish with this. Even though the American people, by large majority, have been turning back to conservative, traditional moral values, they did not turn to the Republican Party. They had lost their trust in the Republican Party. I believe that's why there is a red wave in the heart of America that I believe could be accurately called a red tsunami. But it did not convert to the last election. I think there was a little bit of it seen, but the fullness of it was not realized because they don't like the left. They don't like the Democratic Party. They don't like their policies and what they stand for. But they believe the general, and I'm speaking in general, the American people believes the Republican Party claims to believe the same things, believe the right things, but they don't have the courage to do the right things. And they've constantly said they were going to do something if we gave them power. And when we gave it to them, they did not get it done, did not do it. And so there's a disconnect. Really, the American people despise both political parties. And that's what I saw in that dream, too. Something else is going to come to save America that is not going to be Republican or Democrat. The Lord, in this dream, I saw it was a third column. It's going to be a movement, not a party. And I believe God's going to be leading that movement.
What would you advise conservative Christians to do? What could cause this army to rise up and stand up? God is not going to tolerate the abortion of babies. And we've had a chance to change, and yet they're marching in the streets saying it's a blessing of God to kill our babies. And it's so perverted.
And he's not going to tolerate, like Rick said, the indoctrination. So if Satan can't kill the babies, then he's going to indoctrinate them.
I believe the Antichrist spirit
kindergarten, yeah,
has taken over the leadership in America, a lot of the leadership. And I believe with all of my heart that all this wickedness that is causing us to allow teaching and hospitals to do surgery on little children and on teenagers to turn from women to men or men to women, it is an abomination to God. God created man and woman. And I believe with all of my heart that this is upsetting God. When God sent the flood in Noah's time, everybody was wicked. I wonder if we're getting near that time in America.
Well, that's what you said. It would be like in the times of Noah. And but you kind of inferred a question back there, but when are the Christian people going to stand up? All they're waiting for is a clear trumpet call. They're looking for leadership, and they have not been shown it in either party. Trump has shown by far the most decisive leadership I think we've seen, but he had some personality traits that a lot of people could not see past and understand. Here's someone who kept all of his promises like we've never had a president do before, in my opinion, in recent times, maybe of all time. But incredibly competent, got the job done. But we are in desperate need of competence. And right now we have children, capricious children, as our leaders. That's a judgment of God. How'd they get there? Even if you think the election was stolen, whatever, God obviously allowed it. And that does call for repentance. And you know, for all the turning to conservative and moral values that Mark's study, you know, illuminated, almost none of it was turning back to Christian principles. We weren't turning, Americans weren't turning to Lord because they had reacted towards Christian institutions or the institutional church and virtually every institution the same way. And that they don't trust them. But that to me, again, says where the, you know, or we're told in Hebrews, Jesus suffered outside the camp. It says, let us go to him outside the camp. And I think there is something of us remaining that we don't become institutional. Because when faith gets institutionalized, it gets corrupted. I don't care how accurate your doctrines are or anything else. You start serving the institution instead of the truth and standing for the truth. So there's some things that are amazing in this study that Mark Nuttall had commissioned. And by the way, you can check that. We're starting to cover, I'm doing programs with Mark on our Morningstar Journal news station about this. It's incredible. We'll be years unpacking all this.
Wow. That's maybe we can get him on our program.
Absolutely. We love Mark Nuttall. He's actually one of the most brilliant brains I've ever met in my lifetime.
We're going to run out of time on this broadcast. I wish I had another 2 hours to go. But I am concerned about America, and you're talking about the guidelines of where we're to go. When you serve God, isn't there a common sense in leadership that they have? You know, there is our leadership is so anti-God, anti-church, anti-Bible, anti-prayer. And here we are in the worst condition probably the world's ever been in. And I want to ask you about what you feel about America and where we are right now. For instance, just on the issue of oil, somehow God placed oil under our feet, under our ground in America. But our leadership fails, and they're pumping the oil out of the reserve, which is supposed to be left in case of war. And war may be coming to the world. I believe we're in a very big worldwide Cold War right now. I believe it's going on, whether anybody agrees with me or not. But I believe that the foolishness of this oil situation is spiritual, and leadership needs to deal with it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that what we're seeing here is what the globalists are calling the Great Reset. Even you've heard Biden make that comment. And, well, it's going to be painful for a while until we transition over to electric. But here's the reality of the matter. I feel like that we have seen in this capricious leadership that Rick mentioned, because of the stubborn hijacking of the far left, you know, of the green energy, which I'm all for, you know, clean energy, but you know, all they ever talk about is how that the interest groups are in the pockets, or the oil interest groups are in the pockets of the conservatives. Well, the green energy interest groups are in the pocket of the left. I mean, you know, they don't cover that part. But we do have liquid gold under our feet, and right now the ineptness of our leadership is forcing us to go to dictators and despots, to go to Venezuela. You know, Saudi Arabia won't even return Biden's phone calls, you know, and when they ask him, or when Biden asked them to increase production, their response was to decrease production. So I think this speaks to the ineptness of the leadership, that just this globalist attempt to reset everything. It's a natural resource, oil, natural gas. These things are natural resources that God put in the earth. And, you know, I think we produce it cleaner than any other place on the earth. And I'd like to say, too, in regards to this, what Rick was saying, this study that Mark Nuttall has done about how that there's disappointment with the Republican Party, but the vacuum of leadership, not having a clear voice, but that there is a turn to the right. I just want to emphasize this again. An example of this, that the nation has turned to the right, is look at Florida. Florida has a strong leader. Governor Ron DeSantis is a strong leader. He showed leadership during the recent hurricane. He showed leadership during COVID with all the draconian rules that were going on in a lot of the blue states. And his leadership caused his support to grow. I mean, this is a landslide in 4 years of support, and a growth of support from Latino Americans, Hispanic Americans, Black Americans. And so it is evidence of a turn to the right, a turn to family values. You saw it highlighted how he helped his wife during her time of cancer, helped with the kids. And so that modeling that dynamic out, I think that is an example, Florida, what happened in the midterms, in compared to the rest of the nation that saw a red trickle. We did see a red wave in Florida. And that proves the study that Rick is talking about. We need leadership, and they're looking for leadership.
So we're to pray for leaders. Pray for God to give us leaders that are in connection with God. Amen? You know, we've been watching the news about this FTX cryptocurrency case, where the owner of that company that's called FTX, mind, I don't know what that means, but FTX.
Future exchange.
A future exchange, was quoted as saying it was just a game. I have a report here that, let's watch this, and then I'm going to ask you guys to talk about it. Let's run this, please.
The spectacular collapse of one of the world's largest crypto exchanges is being called bigger than Enron, potentially ruining the lives of millions of people. Huge Democrat donor, reportedly holed up in the Bahamas. Lawmakers set to drag him in front of Congress next month to explain how his company lost billions of dollars. And now a bunch of high-profile celebs, including handsome Tom Brady, Shaquille O'Neal, Larry David, they're all included in an $11 billion class action lawsuit for promoting the failed platform in primetime commercials. Earlier this year, Bankman-Fried spoke to her own Liz Klayman about regulations that may have prevented his company's collapse, and he was all for the regulations. What a tool. Watch.
What do you anticipate will happen?
I'm optimistic that over the next year or so, we'll see some really substantial steps forward in the global regulatory environment and the U.S. regulatory environment for cryptocurrencies.
Gosh, I wonder why he was donating to the party in power. That's so weird. Maybe so he'd have a bunch of friends in office when he got in trouble. So, Kurt, how did this happen?
Well, unfortunately, Kennedy, it's a symptom of a whole lot of things. I think this actually started a few months back when the 3AC company collapsed. We've seen Celsius collapse, and now FTX is the biggest domino to fall. But I think the real problem is that they're keeping money on each other's exchanges, and everybody's promising each other 10%, 15% yields on holding stable coins. And I think they're playing a lot of really crazy games. And I actually think the worst of this news probably hasn't come out yet.
So what happens to these people who were at least theoretical billionaires for a while, including Sam, including CZ, including the Winklevi? What happens to their net worth? Does it evaporate? Were they somehow insulated? Did they insulate each other secretly while grifting, you know, millions and billions of dollars from investors?
It's possible. We think they're billionaires, but they're paper billionaires. We don't know that they ever actually had those billions of dollars in the first place. They were largely printing tokens out of thin air. Like, the collapse at FTX came from the collapse of the FTT token.
Yes.
So this was money that they printed out of nowhere, and then it wasn't worth anything. That really shouldn't shock anybody.
This company gave millions and millions of dollars to this campaign. They just ran in America.
To the Democrats.
To the Democrats.
And they threw a little to the Republicans, too, because they have,
well,
they have to do
but
that.
George Soros is the number one, and he's sponsored so much evil. And advertising pays off when you advertise. So this was millions of dollars. Do you guys have any thoughts about what this is situation coming up? Because it was on the news last night. I don't know if you read it yet, but they believe this whole thing with this great, they say it's going to be one of the greatest scandals of all times, but that it's going to lead to the introduction of new currency in America, even starting in a few months. Who wants to talk about that? Any one of you dare?
I had a dream known as the $50 bill dream back in March of 2022, where I saw new currency. I shared it on the last time I was on the Jim Baker Show, when I was back there a few months ago. I mean, here's the thing. I think a lot of us saw this cryptocurrency thing from a mile away. You could see it going down, because here's the thing: in the regular economy and in free trade, you sell products and services, and you can measure their value because they're material, because they're substance, because they're service. Cryptocurrency, it is impossible to maintain the value of something that you can't measure its value. There's really no way they could measure the value. So that's why they say it was all a game. And that's the whole reason why You know, he was the second, well, this guy you're referencing was the second largest donor only to George Soros to the Democratic Party. And I think we're going to see the connections to this. I tell you this, I'll share this, I'll predict this. We're going to see the Hunter Biden story come and resurface this next year, and it's going to be shocking the level of involvement I believe he will have with this. The evidence will become undeniable. So remember, Hunter Biden and King Charles's brother, Prince Andrew, I actually, just 2 weeks ago, went into a vision where I saw him fall into such a place of depression because of the loss of his mother and his brother not supporting him, and because of the political and social pressure coming on him, and he and Hunter Biden's involvement in a lot of these Ponzi schemes, I actually saw him trying to take his own life. So there are a lot of people that are involved in a lot of these things that the media is suppressing, just like they suppressed the Hunter Biden story to begin with. But I think this is the first of many dominoes, this cryptocurrency, and a lot of shady business dealings like this, the Hunter Biden family business dealings, China, Ukraine, and so on and so forth.
Oh, boy.
I'm so concerned because it's not just FTX. Mm-hmm. It's what's being introduced immediately, and it was released on one of the big network shows last night, talked about it. Same thing that you had shared that day on this show. Mm-hmm. And that this would introduce a currency that they could control. And if they didn't like what you were doing, they could shut off your currency.
They will wipe out everything that you're worth.
Do you believe that's coming?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Rick, today we really wanted to dig into your book. We didn't get into it a whole lot. But Lori, ask a question from the book, because he deals with something that we need to deal with in the church today.
Well, what's so powerful, Rick, about this book, that's you said before the broadcast, Overcoming Evil in the Last Days, it is so timely right now, because what you taught us in this book he writes over 20 years ago, and it is for right now. Yeah. We are actually living in this book, Overcoming Evil in the Last Days. And you talk, Rick, about the Satan's cord of three strands: racism, the stronghold of witchcraft, and the religious spirit. And you break it down so heavy. And when you get into the religious spirit and unmasking the religious spirit, and it's incredible.
Well, tell us a little bit, before we go off the air today, about what you're saying, warning about a religious spirit.
And of course,
is that a,
and then the witchcraft is just...
And the witchcraft in the church.
Yes.
Well, the religious spirit is an evil spirit. I'm not talking about Christianity. I'm not talking about faith. But I'm talking about, it can be institutionalized religion. I think a lot of it is. But it's a religious spirit is the self-righteousness that was on the Pharisees and Sadducees, the most religious people in Israel, the ones who had the greatest hope in the coming Messiah, who preserved the scriptures, had so many other things, were the worst enemy of the Messiah when he came. And I believe this same spirit actually has more influence in the church today than the Holy Spirit does.
Oh, true.
Now that's going to change. But it's just like that religious spirit had more influence in Israel when Jesus came. And we're still dealing with it today. It's the same spirit. There are Christian Pharisees, Christian Sadducees. But, you know, it was the worst enemy to Jesus, the Word himself. The demons he could easily deal with. They would bow the knee to him. But the religious killed him. Had him killed, resisted everything he said and did. So we really have to understand this spirit, the root of it, and I believe it is rooted in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's something we're all born with, and we struggle to get free of as Christians. When we start to really live by the Holy Spirit, and I would say that a religious spirit bases, it would seek to have us base our relationship to God on religious performance rather than on what Jesus did. And, you know, one of the things of a disciple is we take up our cross daily. But I think a religious spirit would have us start putting more faith in our cross than in the cross of Jesus. Start putting more faith in our sacrifices and things like this, thinking this is what we have our standing with God on rather than what Jesus did. And when you build your life on self-righteousness, you know, or self-crucifixion, or any of these things, it separates you from the grace of God. Separates us from God.
We're running out of time.
Satan, more than any other identity, comes to us as an angel of light, which is a religious spirit, a demonic religious spirit.
You have a chapter 12 in the book is witchcraft in the media. I believe media today is one of the main tools that the enemy is using to deceive people. What do you mean by witchcraft in the media?
Well, to understand the media, it obviously is in the media. To me, the most alarming thing is how much it is in the leadership of the body of Christ today. Witchcraft is counterfeit spiritual authority. It's used in manipulation, hype, pressuring, manipulation, control, all of these things, even to try to accomplish the will of God. I tell you, the Lord has more dignity than to use such methods to accomplish his purposes. But you find that kind of leadership spread throughout the body of Christ. And what we release in heaven gets released on the earth. Now it's a prevailing method used in the world. In virtually all leadership, a political spirit is a part of that, building on human alliances rather than the will of God, in place of the will of God. All of these things are part of that counterfeit spiritual authority. But I think King Saul of Israel is one of the most manifest examples of what happens to you and how this kind of counterfeit authority can take you over. Remember when Samuel commanded him to wait for him to come to perform the sacrifice. It says, when Saul saw the enemies gathering and the people scattering, he offered the sacrifice. He caved into that pressure because he had a greater fear of the enemy and a greater fear of man, of the people than he did of God. God's command was wait. So he did something he did not have the authority to do. You know, Saul was of the tribe of Benjamin. He did not have the authority to offer sacrifices in that. And this is what gets us beyond the sphere of authority that God has given to us to do things he has not called us to do at all. And when we get beyond that, the authority he's given to us, we get beyond his grace. We're on our own. And what you start in the flesh is going to take more and more flesh to maintain. And witchcraft is actually named as a work of the flesh in Galatians. It's also called sorcery, but we often think of witchcraft as black magic and those things. No, it's way more than that. White witchcraft is far more deadly and powerful than black magic and all that stuff combined. Because I believe the good side of the tree of knowledge, which is based in human goodness and our self-righteousness, things like that, is far more deadly than the evil side of that tree of knowledge. Is that it? Yeah, that's throwing a lot.
I want everybody to order the book.
Yeah.
You need it. This is a book for now.
Absolutely. You keep it next to your Bible and open it up and read it. Rick literally breaks all of this down for you. And it's what we are living right now in 2022.
So for a gift of $25, yes, we'll send that right to your house. And it's exposing Satan's three most powerful evil strongholds: racism, witchcraft, and the religious spirit. I want you to order the book, and you're getting a free copy of my first sermon, Out of Prison, I Will Never, Never Leave Thee. Yeah. Can you imagine a man coming out of prison and saying God will never leave you? Well, I want you to, this is one of the most powerful sermons I think I've ever preached.
Or you can receive.
Yes, that's right. We also have our friends and family offer, which is three of the books along with three of the bonus DVDs for a donation of $65 to the ministry. Shipping and handling is included as well. And remember, we have our food, Dad. Now is the time,
yes,
to be prepared with the 60-meal bucket. This is our preparedness food, up to 30-year shelf life.
It's important in these days. There's reports, Mondo, on the all over the world of news of food shortages. Mm-hmm. They're warning in America.
Yes.
And then with the gas being in shortage and the fuel to run the trucks, that's what delivers our food. So
yes,
this is a food pantry in a bucket, mm-hmm, and it lasts up to 30 years. And it has things like pancakes,
yes,
and bean burgers and all the good,
yes,
stuff in it.
Yes, 13 different varieties are included in our 60-meal bucket for a donation of $225 to the ministry. Shipping and handling included as well. Call our toll-free number today, 1-888-988-1588. Remember, I just want to encourage you, go to our website, jimbakershow.com. You can also do your giving there as well. And we have so many amazing, amazing deals that are happening there at Jim Baker Show on our store. So visit
this,
our store.
This would make such a great Christmas present.
Yes.
We've given it to our family
That's
over
right.
the years. Order your Christmas giving. The food buckets may not even be here next year, but I know the price in a few days after Christmas, yeah, it has to go up again. The cost is just going up like crazy.
Yes.
Well, we do have to go, and I want to thank Rick Joyner
and
Chris Reed for,
yes,
being with us today.
Oh, wow.
Appreciate them so
Amazing.
Much. Remember, God loves you. He really does. Bye-bye for today.
Bye-bye. We love you. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. That number again is 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to the Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri 65615. Please make all checks payable to Jim Baker Show. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.